Hello, everybody, and welcome to the inaugural episode of On the Clock. This is the very first episode of On the Clock. Here are Toilets to Titles, where me, Joe, I'm going to be doing a review of the upcoming 2022 draft class for the NFL, and I'm really looking forward to it. Why? Because I love this type of crap. I love it. I love diving into the players, getting as much information as I possibly can, and we're starting with my review of the defensive end edge rusher class for 2022. Now, these are the top 10. I want to specify that these are my opinion of the top 10 players, and it's pretty much a consensus from what I can tell, but also based on my review, it's my top 10. I kind of put them in order of my top 10. You'll see that the first, I'd say like the top five are probably the consensus top five, as far from what I've been seeing so far. And then maybe the back top five, like the 6 through 10, are more my opinion in terms of the ranking, like the order that they should go in. But that's going to change over time too, because we still have a lot to go before the actual draft at the end of April. You're going to have a lot of, each school is going to have their own pro days. You're going to have the Senior Bowl. So you're going to see players, whether it's defensive end, edge, cornerback, quarterback, wide receiver, running back, it doesn't matter. Every single year, there are names that shoot up the board that you never even heard of before, and there are names that drop too. But I'm launching On the Clock with the defensive end edge review. I'm really looking forward to it. And I think this is kind of like the most difficult one, and I'll explain that in a little bit. I wanted to get this one out of the way because I think it's going to be a little more difficult than the other positions in terms of how you define defensive end slash edge. So I wanted to get the hardest one out of the way. Let's check out the comments. Chris's video is good to see you, Chris. Chris's videos is one of our best followers over here. He's always in our stream. Hey, Chris says he tested positive for COVID. Hey, man, I'm sorry about that. You feel better. You get better well soon. And you know what? The way I see it too, Chris, I hope it doesn't hit you that hard. But the way I see it is that if you haven't gotten COVID, we're all going to get it eventually. I haven't gotten it yet. I assume that I'm going to get it eventually. And so it's going to happen someday, whatever, regardless of the variant, we're all probably going to get COVID eventually. So, but Chris, I hope you feel better, man. I hope you feel better soon. All right, buddy, take care. But Chris, I'm glad you're here. You can go through my defensive end edge review with me. It's going to be a lot of fun. Before we get into the content, please hit that like and subscribe button. Give us that 5-star Apple review because we deserve it. Where you can find the show: Apple Podcast, YouTube, Podbean, Spotify, Facebook, where we have two pages. The first one is Toilets to Titles, and the second one is called When a Family Breaks, which is our Facebook page dedicated to the trading of sports memorabilia. Check it out. It's a lot of fun, but as you can see, the key point, you can find us anywhere and everywhere. Also, if you go to patreon.com/toiletstotitles, you can learn how you can further support the show, and we have our own website, ToiletsToTitles.com, where we have all of our videos, articles, tons of fantasy and NFL football content, as well as draft content now. So we've got like 15 contributors here, including myself at Toilets to Titles. We all bring something to the table, whether it's videos or articles. A great crew to work with. Check them all. Check it out. It is awesome. I'm really proud of that site. Okay, so again, this is our review of the defensive end slash edge class for 2022. I want to point out this is a top heavy and a deep class when it comes to defensive end and edge, as opposed to last year's class, which was it was deep. So the 2021 class for defensive end and edge was deep, but it was not top heavy. As far as I recall, the top, let's say, edge rusher last year off the board, I think one number 17, it was Jalen Phillips to the Miami Dolphins. I believe he was the first one off the board. That's unusual because in most classes, you're going to see a pass rusher. Let's just call them pass rushers for now. You'll see a pass rusher go at least somewhere in the top 10, definitely top 5, top 7, bare minimum top 10. But we didn't have our first one go last year, as far as I recall, until Jalen Phillips. I think that's 17 with Miami. So that's But after that, after Jalen Phillips, he did have a lot of good quality guys back into the first round, second round, third round. And there was a lot of depth, like guys who could be, good, backup players. And say like the fourth, fifth round. So there was good depth, but there wasn't a lot of premier talent in 2021. at the pass rushing position, as opposed to this class. This class is both top heavy and deep. And by the way, the 2022 class is probably the deepest NFL class, draft class ever, in terms of overall talent. There were a lot of players who didn't enter the draft last year with COVID. Actually, I should say they went back to school this year with all the all the havoc that COVID wreaked last year on college football. There were guys who went back to school this year, and now they're entering this class. So honestly, if I were a junior, I would in college football, I'd probably think about sitting out this class and going back to my senior year and coming out next year, because this one's deep. You're gonna have players who are gonna go wind up going like in the fifth round, who I think normally would have went in the third round. There's a lot of talent across the board in this class. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be fantastic. What I want to do before I actually get into the players real quick, and I'm about to get into the players, I know I tend to talk a lot. I want to define defensive end and edge, because there's a big difference between it's defensive end and edge. You'll see it used almost like uniformly, or I should say like interchangeably, I should say. But to me, there's a big difference. I kind of want to try to define it some way. Defensive end, in my mind, when I think of defensive end, I'm usually thinking of a 4-3 guy who plays, at the end of the line on the 4-3 defense. There's also a 3-4 defensive end who plays, say, like a Leonard Williams. And a lot of times, listen, I'm a Giants fan. A lot of times you'll hear me reference the Giants. I'm not doing that to push my team. It's just the easiest way for me to draw comparisons. So Leonard Williams is a 3-4 defensive end. He plays at the end of the three-man line. So he's a 3-4 defensive end. But Leonard Williams wouldn't be like, say, for example, like I don't think he'd be like a great 4-3 defensive end. If he were going to play on a 4-3 line, he'd probably be a really good, interior lineman, like a really good, a defensive tackle on a 4-3 line. But you'll see some players referred to as edge. You'll see some defensive ends referred to as edges as well. And the way I see that is usually, like, say, in a 4-3 line, for example, you have a guy who lines up as the 4-3 defensive end. On pass rushing downs, though, when they want to bring, say, like they want to load up on obvious pass rushing downs, the defense wants to load up on maybe have five guys at the line. That guy is referred, if he might be referred to as an edge, if he's the guy who maybe normally plays the 4-3, but if they're bringing that fifth guy in at the line for the pass rushing situation, they may bounce that 4-3 guy. They may bounce him out to the edge. He might be the fifth guy in the line because he's got the speed to do it. Other players are referred to as edges. Let me give you an example of Azeez Ojulari, who's an outside linebacker for the Giants. Again, I'm just using the Giants, my team, just as an example. I'm not trying to push my team. Azeez Ojulari is an outside linebacker who, on when they want to blitz, well, he can line up for the blitz. He's normally like outside linebacker, but he can rush the passer. But he's playing on the outside in the 3-4 defense. He's playing as an outside linebacker. When they want to rush the passer, he can be the fourth guy in the line on those pass rushing situations. To me, this is just a difference, and it can be confusing because these players are not interchangeable. A 4-3 defensive end is a lot different from, a 4-3 defensive end is different from a 3-4 edge rusher. A 3-4 defensive end is a hell of a lot different from a 3-4 edge rusher. So it can be confusing because sometimes you'll see a player referred to as a defensive end. Sometimes you see him referred to as an edge, and he could be someone who could play. An edge could be someone who's got the skill set to play and the versatility to play a 4-3 defensive end or an outside linebacker. So it gets confusing. So I'm trying to, that's why I wanted to tackle this first, because I thought it'll take the longest. I wanted to define it. I think it can be confusing. So I do try to, in my research, I do try to figure out who are actual, just like 4-3 defensive ends, who are the players who can actually play 3-4 defensive end. That's not easy to find. People criticize Leonard Williams somewhat because they're like, oh, he's not like the most talented defensive ends. I'll tell you, there are not many players in the NFL who can play a 3-4 defensive end at the level that Leonard Williams can, and people I think don't realize that. So I just and to me it's important. These are important differences in what you're looking for. So if you got a 4-3, if your team's defense is a base 4-3 defense, you're not all these players are going to be a great fit. And especially if your team's base defense is a 3-4, like my team is, the Giants, a lot of these players aren't necessarily going to be the best fit. Number two, my research is based on mostly reading from various sources on each of these players, as well as watching analysis video from others, and plus having watched some of the games too. I've seen some, the players in some of these games. It's not like I watch college football all the time, or certainly to watch all of the games, but I do try to watch a decent amount of analysis from experts on these players. But most of my learning on these players has to do with reading, and I try to read at least three sources on each player, and I try to get a feel. Some experts have, a different feeling on someone's ceiling, their skill set, what their potential is, what they got to work on, what they call out on the negative side. And I just try to, take that information, also compare it to what I'm seeing in a video, and put it up in one big ball and just put in, Joe's analysis. So, but also I want to give a special a hat tip to Pro Football Network. That is my starting base. That's where I start for each of these players. I find Pro Football Network, I really started relying on them heavily last year as my starting point, and I find them to be really accurate. Their scouting reports to be excellent, and I use this as my launching pad for each player. And also, I thought last year, like their big board, I thought was really accurate in terms of how the 2021 draft wound up developing. In terms of like the rounds that these players won, and not where the teams, not what team that they were necessarily drafted by, but just that the rounds that they were taken in. And I'll tell you, like you can compare so many different types of like, big board draft sites, and there's a lot of difference. Like Walter Football is a popular one. I'm not really into Walter Football. I don't think they're very accurate. I think they can be too critical on stuff that players need to improve, kind of make it sounding like the players kind of like crap, to be honest with you. And I think their position, like their round positioning for these players can be really, really off. But I don't feel that way with Pro Football Network. It also goes by PFN. I rely on them heavily. I think you should too, if you're really into doing draft research like I am. So anyway, let's move on to my first player. Okay, let me check the comments real quick. Chris's videos. He was playing Madden earlier, and I was in the year two phase of the franchise, and they said it was my first year. Madden needs to fix this. You know what, Chris? I hear you, man. Madden needs to, I really don't play Madden, but I've heard some complaints like that about Madden recently from other players, friends of mine who are really into it. But listen, while you got COVID, Chris, enjoy playing Madden, man. It's a lot of fun. I have to give Madden another shot. I just never had the patience for it. Anyway, okay, let's get into the players. All right, this is the consensus number one as of right now. Defensive end, outside linebacker, Kayvon Thibodeau. This has been the whole year the consensus number one pass rusher coming into this draft class. Do not be surprised, and that's why I have him as the first name that I'm addressing. Do not be surprised if he winds up dropping down to number three or four. All I'm saying, a lot of people have been talking about Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon as the like consensus number one overall player. I don't think so. Not my opinion. He's not. I don't think he's the top pass rusher in this class. I don't think he's the top defensive end, and I think his injury history has a lot to do with it. This guy's been injured quite often in Oregon, in college, and if I'm drafting, he's expected to go like top three, maybe even the number one overall pick. I can't take a guy who's been as injured as Thibodeau has. But not just that too. I think they're actually just better players than him at this position. But Thibodeau at Oregon, and I know I'm going against the grain, but I'm just saying, don't be surprised if he winds up being like the third, fourth, fifth guy off the board at this position in the 2022 draft, because we still have a few months to go. Defensive end slash outside linebacker. Now, this is a guy who can actually play the 3-4 defense. Like I said, not all players, not all defensive ends can do that. Not all edge rushers can do that. This guy can. So if the Giants are, the Giants have the number five pick overall, they've got a 3-4 defense, they can look at Thibodeau. He worries me a little bit given his injury history, because that's probably not going to change in the NFL. The guy is 6'5". His traits, he's an excellent player though when he's healthy. 6'5", 250 pounds. Right there alone, 250 pounds should tell you that this guy is probably more built to be an edge for a 3-4 defense, meaning like an outside linebacker. He's super athletic. He is fast. He is explosive. He is agile. Everything I have written down here, I'm just reading off the bar that I, the information on it that I gathered. He's got very long arms. It disrupts the passing windows for the quarterback. He's very good at converting speed to power. So when he hits full force hard. Very, very hard hitter. The guy apparently is a very, and this is like the three or four, scouting reports that I've read on him. The guy, everyone said it's a unanimous consensus. This guy has a very high football IQ. He's kind of like a he'd be like a general on the field for your defense eventually. So this is it's a lot of good stuff to like about him, and he plays the run well too. So, like I said, my main concerns are injury history. And when you're talking about him possibly going number one overall, don't be surprised if he doesn't. And don't be surprised if he's not even the first pass rusher not taken off the board. He might slip to like the third one because he's got really good competition behind him. Speaking of defensive end, Aiden Hutchinson, Michigan. This might be my favorite guy in the draft at the defensive end position. 6'6", 269 pounds. This guy's like a man amongst men. He is known as one of those athletic freaks, and there's a few of them. You'll see there's like one or two others as well who are in this for in this draft class, at least for the top 10, who are known, who are seen as athletic freaks. Athletic freaks are the type of players who test off the charts when it comes to their athleticism. Obviously, I'm talking about like their their 40-yard dash. And when I talk about like 40-yard dash, I'm talking about relative to their position. It's not like Aiden Hutchinson is going to really compete with a, like a speedy wide receiver. But compared to other defensive ends, this guy is fast. His straight line speed, his three cone drill is excellent as well. His vertical is excellent. This guy can jump very high. He's very strong and strong, explosive. This guy is long, so he's not just tall. He's got really long arms too. So it's going to make him seem like a really big tree out there when a quarterback wants to pass. Pass the ball. So you're talking about the ability to, even though he's playing on the edge, he's versatile. Aiden Hutchinson can play on the interior as well. It's not ideal. I mean, you really want this guy on the edge, but he kind of reminds me of Justin Tuck. Again, a Giants reference only because it's easier for me as off the top of my head. And I think many of you are probably familiar with these, the better Giants players when they were good 10 years ago. Justin Tuck was a defensive end. But he also rushed a lot from the interior. So he was very good at it. Aiden Hutchinson can do the same thing. He's got great lateral speed. He is twitchy. He's got a nice burst off the line. He's also a very good run defender. He's got a red hot motor. I love that. I require that in my defensive players, especially my linemen. Especially my linemen. I require a good, at least a good motor. This guy's motor is red hot. He absorbs blocks well, so he's not someone who's going to be getting blown off the line by an offensive tackle or a guard. No, that's not happening to Aiden Hutchinson. I think this guy is the best all-around defensive end in this draft, and I have him ahead of Kayvon Thibodeaux, to be honest with you, like I said earlier. But I did address Thibodeaux first because so far he's the consensus number one. Okay, George Karloftis, believe it or not. This guy's ceiling. He's got the ability to be the best of them, to be the best of them all. I don't think he will be the best of them all, but this guy is a good raw product. He's not completely raw, but he is somewhat raw. And but this guy's got a really high ceiling that I think is up there with Aiden Hutchinson. He's coming out of Purdue. I like Purdue. I like the NFL talent they produce. And he is 6'4", 275 pounds. Here's another guy with a hot motor. I love that. These guys don't stop. Every single play, they're bringing it. And whether it's rushing the passer or defending the run on the interior or go or running tracking down running backs who are trying to get around the edge or even who people have originally beaten them, seemingly beaten them at the edge, they track them down. Karloftis is someone like that. This guy is strong. He might be the strongest defensive end out of all of them in this class. This guy's really strong. He can bull rush the crap out of tackles. He's athletic, excellent burst, good change of direction for a big dude, 275 pounds. He's got really good change of direction. He, like I said earlier, he runs down running backs. He runs them down. He's really good at running them down. So you can't really get past Karloftis. But he does need to improve shedding blockers. But that's something he can, that's something he can, like I said, he's a little raw. Shedding blockers, he needs to improve on it. He can do that with the right coaching, and assuming that he's, intelligent, that he takes to coaching well. I'm assuming he does. From all the things that I've read on him, he sounds like a good guy, like a good smart guy who's willing to put in the hard work and learn. So I really like Karloftis a lot, and I actually had to have him ahead of Thibodeau. I just keep going back to Thibodeau only because he's been like the consensus number one guy so far all along. I mean, I think Thibodeau would be a good fit on the Giants, just because he actually can play the outside linebacker, and so he would be a good fit in the 3-4 defense. I think Aiden Hutchinson and Karloftis are more like your traditional 4-3 defensive ends, but I think they're going to be even more impactful at what they do at their position than Thibodeau would. Okay, so I think these are the top three, though. To me, these are definitely the top three: Thibodeau, Hutchinson, Karloftis. Pick the order you want to put them in. Put them in. I think these are the top three. And I do think there's like in these top my top 10 list here for defensive ends, edge rushers. I think you've got at least seven, maybe eight guys who could legitimately, I could legitimately make a case for going in the first round. Okay, and David Ojabo is one of them. Aiden Hutchinson, he's also coming out of Michigan. He's Aiden Hutchinson's, Batman to Robin. He's another athletic freak. He had a great season. I mean, Hutchinson and David Ojabo are a huge reason, or probably the biggest reasons why Michigan made it to the Final Four this year. And Michigan had other very good talent too, and they had a good head coach. I always liked Jim Harbaugh, and I believed in him. But Hutchinson, the tandem of Hutchinson and Ojabo was fantastic. They were blowing up the other team's running games, destroying their quarterbacks. David Ojabo, thing with different big difference between David Ojabo and Hutchinson, and I do think Hutchinson's more impressive, is that Ojabo really has come of notice this year in 2022. This was his year that he shined. Before that, he was very quiet. His production wasn't really anything to write home about. This year was completely different. 6'5", 250 pounds. This is another guy who can play defensive end or edge rusher. I'm looking at you, teams with 3-4 defenses like my Giants, I'm looking at you. This is a guy you want to have your eye on. He's 6'5". He's very tall. He's 250 pounds. He's not the biggest guy. He's not like Aiden Hutchinson or Karloftis, who's like 275 pounds. But he's 250 pounds, which is a nice, I think, a nice ideal weight for like a premier 3-4 edge rusher, outside linebacker edge rusher. That's a good weight. This guy had a monster 2021. I'm sorry, monster. Yeah, no. I'm sorry. Right. I'm sorry. 20 is 2020 year, and before that was quiet. I keep saying 2022. 2021, he had a monster year. He had his last year was a phenomenal year of production. He had 11 sacks, 36 total tackles, 12 tackles for loss. That is a big number. 36 tackles isn't all that impressive, but it's impressive. But he had 12 tackles for loss. That's impressive. He's basically getting a tackle for loss per game. And he had five forced fumbles. That's a really nice number. And the 11 sacks, obviously, is a really nice number. This guy is another athletic freak, just testing off the charts when it comes to like the 40-yard dash, 3-yard cone, broad jump, high jump, just athletic freak. This guy's got top-tier explosiveness, lateral agility. So this guy can. Is you know he could defend the outside very, very well, and also cut to the inside, to if someone's trying to run between the guard and center. Ojabo actually, he's got the speed and the agility to bust into the inside when necessary. He's got a long ass wingspan. So again, when you're rushing the quarterback, if you can't get to the quarterback, you put those arms up, you disrupt those passing windows. He's got a great second gear. So he's another guy with a motor, but this guy's got a really good. He's got really good closing speed, and he's very good. He's got great run range and run support, and he's strong and he's flexible. He can work on his tackling, I think, a little bit just from what I've seen. But that is something that's easily correctable. He can get better over time. That's one of the easiest things I think to fix. But he does have really good range and run support. So here's another guy who I think is definitely has first round value. And like Thibodeau, he can actually play, outside linebacker. Okay, so I think he's definitely a first round player. And not all, just because I think these guys are first round players, Like I said, there's at least seven, maybe eight guys who I think have first round value. They're not all going to make it into the first round, possibly, probably because this is a deep class, not just on defensive end, but pretty much every single position except for quarterback, which I think is horrible this year. Every single position is very, very deep. Wide receiver, cornerbacks. Ooh, I can't wait to do the cornerback class, and the safety class is really good too. The wide receivers are really good. Running backs, you have a lot of good running backs in this class too. Tight ends, that's going to be a really fun review to do. You've got depth all over the place in this class except for quarterback. Okay, so let's move on. Defensive end Jermaine Johnson, the second, Florida State. Interesting story. The guy's 6'5", 262 pounds. He was originally a JUCO, otherwise known as an abbreviation for junior college football player, because he didn't do well in high school. Spent his first 2 years, I believe, in junior college. Academically, just settled down, got better, did fine, and he wound up transferring to Georgia, the Georgia Bulldogs. He was actually, before I get to the Georgia story, real quick. When he was in when he was a JUCO player, he was actually on the show, and I've never seen it, but I'm aware of it. Last Chance University. I don't know if that's HBO or Netflix, but Last Chance University. He was actually on the show, and that's where they follow college players. Like college football players are kind of like, it's kind of like the last chance to get back into the, you know, into the, like the prominence of like the NFL, just like the NFL noticing them. And so, but he spent his first 2 years at junior college. During that time, he was seen on Last Chance University, wound up transferring to Georgia Bulldogs. He was there in 2020. He played well, but he himself, I like this a lot, he himself said he was going to be, at that point, he was a senior for Georgia. And then he decided to spend a fifth year in college because he himself said, listen, I need tape. I don't have enough tape. The NFL teams care about tape. I don't have enough tape. So he went back for a fifth year into college, but he transferred to Florida State. I believe probably because Georgia is always loaded with defensive talent. He transferred to Florida State for 2021. He was a super senior. It was his fifth year. It was a wise move because the guy put on excellent tape. And I remember he was like the star defensive player. First game of the year for Florida State, they played Notre Dame, and they took Notre Dame to overtime that game. And I was like, I'm someone who actually roots for Notre Dame. I'm like, this is a bad sign because Notre Dame really should beat the they should have beaten the crap out of Florida State, and they didn't. And a big reason why they didn't is Jermaine Johnson almost wrecked the game. The guy, I think, had a sack and a half and a bunch of tackles and a few tackles for loss in that game. He was a big reason why that game even went into overtime. Defensive end Jermaine Johnson, the second out of Florida State, had a monster year last year. In 2021, he was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. He had 12 sacks, 70 tackles. That is a lot. He had 12 sacks, 70 tackles, 18 tackles for loss. Now, this guy is a traditional 4-3 defensive end. He's not someone who's going to be playing, outside linebacker for a 3-4. But if you're a 4-3 defense, you need a good defensive end. I love this guy. Jermaine Johnson, ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Again, 12 sacks, 70 tackles. That's a lot. That's a lot. 18 tackles for loss. This guy is versatile because he can play on the inside as well. And he's effective at playing in the inside. It's kind of like another Justin Tuck. His primary role is defensive end. If you want to rush him from the interior, you can do that too. He's athletic, he's strong, he's got a great first step. This guy pursues, and he's got good lateral agility. He had winning reps against Evan Neal of Alabama. Evan Neal is the consensus number one offensive tackle in this year's draft. He's someone else that has a chance to go as the number one overall pick, Evan Neal. He's a dominant offensive tackle, both in pass protection and run blocking. Jermaine Johnson had a lot of winning reps in their game against Alabama. He had quite a few winning reps against Evan Neal. Watch that game, at least the highlights, at least his highlights of that game. It's impressive to see because Evan Neal, it is not easy to defeat Evan Neal. He can easily go number one overall, and I wouldn't blink an eye. And I'm talking about Evan Neal. But Jermaine Johnson, this guy should be a first round pick. I think your first three, Thibodeau, Hutchinson, Karlaftis, should be like top 10 picks. Don't be surprised if David Ajabo makes it into the top 10, top 12. Don't be shocked. I don't think top 10. Maybe that's stretching a little bit, but top 12, top 15. Jermaine Johnson should be top 20, in my opinion. This guy is great. This guy is great. I think team's concerns maybe that he's a super senior, so he's going to be like a year older than most other players. But I wouldn't be concerned about it. I think this guy is versatile, that he can play from the interior. He's got the strength and the size to do it. I think he'll be an excellent defensive end. You want to move him to the defensive tackle on certain plays. I think you'll be fine. Even if you're doing run support, even if it wound up being a run play, he'll take care of it. I really believe that. I really believe in this guy. I like him a lot. Okay, one of my favorite players in this draft here, defensive end Kingsley Enagbare, South Carolina. South Carolina produces really, they've been producing really, really good stud defensive players. And I think defensive end Kingsley Enagbare is one of them. What I love about this guy, again, my team, the Giants, we play a 3-4 defense, 3-4 defense. This guy can play defensive end on a 3-4 line like Leonard Williams. And if you can get two of those guys, if you can get two real 3-4 defensive ends, your 3-4 defense is taking a big step forward, because that's not easy to find. It's like having another Leonard Williams. It's not easy to find guys who can rush the quarterback as a defensive end in a 3-4, effectively rush the quarterback as a defensive end in a 3-4, a 3-4 defense. It's not easy finding one of them. When you can get two of them, holy cow, look out. I love this guy. The guy is 6'4", 260 pounds. He is a true 3-4 defensive end who can also play 4-3 defensive tackle. I think he could play 4-3 defensive end. This guy is a good, he's a big athletic man. I think he can play 4-3 defensive end. I may want to ideally have someone speedier than him playing the end, but he would be, if you drop him to a 4-3 line, this guy will be a kick-ass disruptive force at defensive tackle. So he gives you a lot of options. He can drop into coverage. This dude is 260 pounds, and he can effectively drop into coverage. Now, when I say drop into coverage, this isn't the guy, you don't want him covering tight ends. But in the zone defense, he can effectively drop back and be effective in zone defense, covering an area of the field. Like I said, I don't want him matched up one-on-one playing press man against a tight end, but he's athletic enough to play some zone defense. It's not something he's normally going to do, but he gives you that ability. He's got that trait. That is impressive. And he plays the run very well. This dude hits hard. He's a big man who hits violently. I love that. He's got length. So another, again, he's tall, 6'4". There's some guys who are taller, like 6'5", 6'6", but the dude has got long arms too. I love this guy. And honestly, if the Giants, I wouldn't giant my Giants have the 5th and 7th pick overall this year. I probably wouldn't take him that high, not number 7, but if they trade back to say like the middle of the first round, say someone wants to come up and get a quarterback or whatever, or maybe like trade up and get Evan Neal, say they want to trade up from like number 15 to number, say to number 5 or number 7, say like Evan Neal, if he were to drop, which won't happen, but just giving an example, I would not mind the Giants or another 3-4 team taking this guy at like number 15. I think he's that good. And I'll tell you put this guy in a 4-3 line, he will be a monster defensive tackle. I love this guy. Kingsley Enagbare is one of my favorite players overall in this very, very deep class of all positions. Kingsley Enagbare is one of my favorite players in this entire draft, regardless of position. Okay, Cameron Thomas. Now we're talking about a guy who I think can go more like in the back end of the first round, like the bottom third, anywhere I think in the bottom third. I'm not talking about like 30 or 31 or 32. This guy can go, I think, as high as 18, 19, probably somewhere in the early to mid 20s. Cameron Thomas, I like this guy too. The only thing that worries me is the competition he was going against, because he's from San Diego State, which is actually one of the college teams that I root for. They're not the biggest program, but they're a good program. And I think they finished the season ranked like number 22 or something like that. I like San Diego State. They always produce some really good talent too. So that's why I like them, even though they're a smaller school, not as well known as like Alabama and Georgia. Cameron Thomas is a damn good player. This guy, 6'5", 270 pounds, dominant player in his conference, which is the Mountain West, I believe, is his conference. But he's been compared to, I'm not comparing to JJ Watt, but I've read other like experts comparing him to JJ Watt and Aiden Hutchinson. So this guy's getting compared to JJ Watt and Aiden Hutchinson in terms of like the style of play, but also potential too. Yeah, it's not just like, oh, he looks like, JJ Watt frame-wise. His style of play and this guy's ceiling, he's got a really, really high ceiling. I don't think his floor is all that low. I think he's going to have a good floor. I think his floor is like a good steady player. This guy's got a really nice ceiling, and he is someone that, if I'm drafting in the mid 20s, I'd be very comfortable taking Cameron Thomas. This guy is a really good sleeper. Not too many people, I think, know of him because you have a lot of good pass rushers in this class. But Cameron Thomas is going to be going up the boards. I've noticed that he's been going up mock boards recently, quite a bit over the past 2 weeks. He's actually gone up from top of the second round, middle of the second round, top of the second round. He's been creeping up to like number 20, 22, 24 on draft boards in the first round. So he may even go higher. He may even go higher. We'll see. I like this guy a lot. He is powerful. He is athletic. He wins against double teams. He knifes through gaps. This guy's pretty quick. He moves blockers with ease. He's a savvy, refined player. So yeah, every player can improve on something. You have 5-year player, like 5-year veterans who could always, refine and improve on things. This guy is coming into the NFL as a pretty savvy and refined player. He's got a good football IQ. Last year, he had 10.5 sacks and 20 tackles for loss. That is a lot of tackles for loss. However, like I said, the only thing that makes me wary when I see a number like 20 tackles for loss, which is a lot, is that the competition he was going against. Again, I like San Diego State. I think they produce some, notable NFL talent throughout the years, but they do play in the Mountain West, which is not a great conference. But I like this guy a lot, and I do think he's got first round value. It could be second round player. I wouldn't be surprised if that too. But I think of a player, if a team took him in the first round, like somewhere in the 20s or the 30s, 30, 31, 32, back into the first round, I think that's good value. Okay, Edge, Myjai Sanders. Myjai Sanders, impressive player out of Cincinnati. This is a guy who can actually play 3-4 outside linebacker too. So anyone who's got a 3-4 defense, any team that's got a base 3-4 defense, this could be your man. Myjai Sanders out of Cincinnati. He's a Bearcat. 6'5", 258 pounds. He's a big reason why the Cincinnati Bearcats made it to the Final Four this year. Certainly not the only reason. Cincinnati, he's got a good amount of talent, but he's a big reason on the defensive side of the ball why they made it as far as they did and why they went undefeated this year. The guy's got a long frame, which allows for great leverage. He's able to get his hands. He's got long arms. He's got a long. This guy's got, like, I think the perfect outside linebacker frame. Watch video on this guy. He's got a perfect frame for the outside linebacker. He's got, a long athletic frame with long arms. And it allows him with the long arms, allow him to get, and he's got some big hands too. It allows him to get his hands on the opposing blocker first, which allows him to get leverage. So he's got really good leverage. He's very good at disrupting passing windows. So even when he's not getting to the quarterback, he's very good at getting his arms up there and deflecting passes. He's a good tackler, which you need at the what you need on the outside. So this guy could be a really good pick for any 3-4 defense. This guy, I think, can go back into the first round. He's got good twitch, good straight line speed, and nice burst. Now, when I say straight line speed, he plays fast. He plays fast, but it's not like and he is athletic, but it's not like he's like his athletic speed isn't like it doesn't pop off. It doesn't like just like pop off the screen. But he's got really good straight line speed. So when he's tracking down a running back, sideline to sideline, he's got that speed. But he's a fast player. I like him a lot. I think he could easily go back end of the first round. Back end of the first round. Now we're getting to the guys who I think these guys are more like, second round players. edge, Drake Jackson. Here's another guy who I think can play the outside linebacker role. Drake Jackson out of USC. He's 6'4", 255 pounds, athletic, versatile, plays defensive end and outside linebacker. So here's a guy. You're probably going to see a 3-4 defense take this guy. He's got really good play speed. The only thing I don't like about him is that he doesn't have, I'm not crazy about his motor. I don't think he's consistent enough. That I don't like that. I don't like when you're seeing a guy who I think like, doesn't always play with a high motor. I'm not crazy about that. But he does have fantastic play speed. He's got a really good killer spin move, great change of direction and lateral ability. He's got another guy with long arms. He does need to improve his tackling. So this is why, in my opinion, this guy shouldn't be touched in the first round. Like I said, I think his motor could be hotter. It could be more consistent. But he also needs to improve his tackling too. I don't think this guy's a first round pick, but I think he's got a lot of upside. You take him in the second round, even like the top of the second round, I think you're doing just fine. You got a nice little project to work with here, but he's got a lot of great traits. So Drake Jackson, my value is not first round, definitely not first round. I wouldn't even take him in the back end of the first round. But you want to take him in the top, in the beginning of the second round, A-OK by me. Good player. And then the last one, my 10th, defensive end Sam Williams, another bit of a project out of Ole Miss. This guy's got a really high ceiling. His floor, I think, is a little questionable, but he's got a really high ceiling. And again, this is not a guy I would touch in the first round. But if you want to take him in the early second round, I think you're A-OK. He's out of Ole Miss. He's 6'4", 265 pounds. He's very athletic, and he gives you a lot to work with. He's got an excellent first step. He's got great closing speed and power at the point of contact. So when this guy's running, he's got a good tendency to hit you. When he's hitting you like full speed right into you. It's jarring. He can be a jarring hitter. He's got a good bull rush move. Well, he's a bull rusher right now, so he does need to refine his pass rushing moves. He's really more of a bull rusher now, but he's a strong guy, so he's effective at it. But when it comes to the NFL, he's going to be going against offensive linemen, especially tackles who are, a few years older, stronger. So he's got to do more than just bull rushing. But for college, he was a very good bull rusher. He's a good tackler, and he's got good lateral agility. Like I say down here, though, he's got an inconsistent motor. I don't like that. I think it's hard to, those type of players, it's hard to, when they don't have that natural motor where they're going every single play. I think that tends to transfer over to the NFL. It's kind of like the same thing with injuries. When you've got an injury history of injury in college football, you start seeing that in the NFL as well. It doesn't go away. And I think the same thing with motor. And I don't like inconsistent motor on players. I can do that maybe like with a third round player, fourth round player, depending upon their ceiling. But this guy's got a really, really high ceiling. So if a team took him, he's not someone I would actually take in the high second round. But I think a lot of teams will. I think he's got high second round value. But he's someone that, like I said, inconsistent motor makes me scared. And I kind of save that for like the third round, to be honest with you. But he's got the talent to go in the high end second round, definitely not first round, high end second round, and I think that's where he's going to wind up going. So anyway, guys, that's the end of my review for the defensive end slash edge class for 2022, and that's just the top 10. I'm going to be doing more later on after I go through the rest of the positions like wide receiver, safety, cornerback, tight end, quarterback, etc., quarterback. Offensive tackle, etc., etc., etc. I'm going to go through like my top 8, 10 for each position, and then I'm going to circle back and do like maybe like the next 5 or 10 after that, in my opinion. So there will be plenty of draft videos by me on this. I'm so looking forward to doing this 2022 draft class, reviewing them. There's so much to talk about because it's such a deep class. But before I go, just friendly reminder, please do not forget to hit that like button, subscribe, give us that 5-star review because we deserve it. And here are the Twitter handles for me and all my colleagues here at Toilets and Titles. Like I said, we all bring something to the table, whether it's videos or articles. Please follow us all because it's a great crew that I work with. I'm really fortunate. And again, just that friendly reminder, Give us that 5-star Apple review if you can. We'd greatly appreciate it. Anyway, that's a wrap for the defensive end slash edge class for 2022. And again, that was only the top 10. There will be more in the future on the pass rushing position. The next videos are probably going to be like offensive tackle, maybe defensive tackle, safeties, wide receivers, coming up. So I'm not sure of the order, but I've got a lot more coming up soon. But I am eventually going to go back and review, additional defensive end players, like, maybe like the next five or the next 10, like maybe like, 11 through 20. So I will go back and do that too. I'm not just doing the top 10. But anyway, guys, that's a wrap. Have a great day, and I'll catch you soon.